Now let's read again. We're going to read the first and second verses of Acts 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. In Acts 14:2, who are the brethren? Who are the Gentiles? Who are the unbelieving Jews in verse 2? Well, look at the previous verse. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. So we've already seen that the unbelieving Jews run the synagogues to which Paul went and read the scriptures there when he went. So that identifies the unbelieving type of Jew. The brethren are that great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, that believe in Acts 14:1. But who are the Gentiles that the unbelieving Jews stirred up and made their minds evil affected? Those Gentiles were not the Gentiles that were called Greeks, which believed. Those Gentiles were other Gentiles from outside the synagogue. They were Gentiles that the Bible elsewhere calls alien, separated from God's people. Those Gentiles didn't care about Abraham, the God of Abraham, the covenants to Abraham, anything about that. They had to be stirred up before they got involved. Going on in verse 3, Acts 14, 3 and 4, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, the Lord which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. Actually, in verse 1, there are two conditions of Jews. There is the synagogue of the Jews, and with the Jews that ran the synagogue. Also, there are Jews that believed Paul's preaching, along with the Greeks. And the two conditions of Jews were believing Jews and disbelieving Jews. As we've seen, the two conditions of Jews are... Also, there are two conditions of Gentiles in verses 1 and 2. The Greeks that believed Paul's gospel of God, and those stirred up Gentiles with evil affected minds. So verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. The Jews there would be the Jews that stirred up the Gentiles against the believing Jews and against the believing Greeks. In Acts 14:4, who was the part that was with the apostles, and who was the part that was with the Jews? The only you can detect it from the context there. The only ones with the apostles were the Jews and Greeks that believed. The part that held with the Jews were all those towny Gentiles with the evil affected minds, the alien Gentiles. We can see right there that there were two conditions of Gentiles, the Greeks and the aliens. So when people object to there being two kinds of Gentiles, you know, verses 1 to 4 of Acts 14 plainly shows that there are two conditions of Gentiles. Look at verse 5 and 6 now. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. That whole wide area there is called Galatia. northern Galatia and southern Galatia. And there they preached the gospel. So when Paul went into a synagogue, when he went to a town, he went to the synagogue, during this period at least, from Acts 13 to Acts 19. In fact, it started with his salvation. It started in Acts 9, and he went straightway into the synagogue and preached that this Jesus is the Christ in the synagogue. So that was his mode, his mode of operation there. He would go to the synagogue when he went to a town, and it was his manner. And that's what it's called in Acts 17. Let's look at the first five verses in Acts 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Still in Acts 17, they're going to the synagogues. The Jewish people first. Acts 17:2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now that would be three Sabbath days, that would be, what, 15 days to, what's for, 27 days, I guess, 15 to 27 days, you know, depending on when the Sabbath fell, they would have been there for those three Sabbaths and the time in between, of course, but they spoke at the synagogue. And what did they speak? It says they reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Well, what does that mean? What did they do when they reasoned with them out of the Scriptures? Did they argue with them? Did they debate? It says opening the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Well, there you've got the gospel of God that we read in Romans 1, 1 through 4, especially verses 3 and 4 yesterday. They opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. That's the resurrection, Christ's resurrection. And that this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is Messiah, is Christ, the Messiah. Going on to verse 4. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul. Now, consorted, that's one of the, three or four words that are used to describe what happens after Paul went into the synagogues and would preach the gospel of God. The facts, God the Father's testimony as to who Jesus is, that he's the one talked about all through the Old Testament that would come. So after they believed, they consorted with Paul. And that's that Paul's meeting that we talk about. They had to separate out of the synagogue because John 9:22 said that the leaders of the synagogue had agreed that if anyone believed that Jesus was the Christ, they would be put out of the synagogue. And that's what Jesus told them in John 16 verse 2, that they'd put them out of the synagogues. So some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, there's another term for those Gentiles that believed God was working in the world at that time through Israel, and through Israel only. And so they complied. They wanted to be part of God's working in the world. They blessed Israel, according to Genesis 12, verse 3, to receive that blessing of the Lord. So they consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy. Paul didn't get a chance to preach beyond the gospel of God. They didn't get to hear the gospel of Christ, how to be saved, how to have salvation. You know, when you think of what the gospel of God is, it's the resurrection of Christ, that he rose from the dead. It doesn't say to believe that his resurrection justified us. And when you're just talking about the gospel of God. If you want to check that out, it's in Romans chapter 1, the first four verses, especially verses 3 and 4. So, if you look in Acts 15, verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now, this is heading into a new topic, but you know, like we've been saying, you have to identify the pronouns. You have to figure out who the we is. Is that you and me? No. You know, people often take it to be that we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we, you and me, shall be saved even as they. Well, who's the they? That's another pronoun. It's not talking about us and Israel. No. As you go through it, you find out that we believe, that's the apostles, and that meeting there in Jerusalem, Acts 15 meeting, between Paul and Barnabas on one side and Peter, James, and John on the other, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we, Israel, shall be saved even as they. They were talking about Cornelius. Those Gentiles that had blessed Israel, Acts 10 verse 2 and 10 verse 4 and 10 verse 22 shows that they had blessed Israel. They were the Greeks. They were the devout persons that were Gentiles that came to God through Israel's covenants and doctrine. And we're not like that. There's nothing that says we're like that. When it says, you know, if you look in... can somebody post Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5? This is what we're like. When we believe the gospel, we're saved. It says, even when we... move this over a little. When we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Well, what does this say? In Acts 15:11, it says, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And that's consistent. It's uniform throughout Israel's writings, whether it be John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, Jude, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 2nd, and 3rd John, they all talk about future salvation when the Lord returns. That's when they get saved. That's why they have to endure to the end, to in the end be saved. We are saved. Praise God. Be thankful. Take advantage of it. Trust in Christ to have died your death for your sins. The wages of sin is death, and Christ died for our sins. All of them. There's nothing in the Bible that says all of your sins except the last one you'll commit before you die. No. Or Christ died for all your sins except the sins you meant to sin. Man, would I be in trouble? We'd all be in trouble. You know, sins that you mean to commit are most of the sins. You know, just like Eve. She looked at the fruit and it looked good to eat. Wow, nice to the eye. She mulled it over in her head and decided to eat the fruit. I don't remember what the term is for it, but you know, Christ died for all our sins. Just put it that way. There's no sin that you can commit that Christ didn't take the wrath of God for on the cross. So, Peter, like we said, he'd been talking about Christ having sent him to one household of God-fearing, Israel-blessing Gentiles, Cornelius' household. So the we in that verse 11 of Acts 15:11, the we is Peter and those that he's talking to, the little flock there in Jerusalem. And they, the word they in Acts 15:11 would be Cornelius, and his household and friends that gathered to hear Peter when he came. We're nowhere in the picture there. We're not waiting for Christ to return to earth for him to blot out our sins. As Peter said, we shall be saved. And he repeats it in, or he already said it, preached it in Acts 3, 19, 20, and 21, especially 19. On the contrary, we're saved according to Ephesians 2, 5 that we just saw. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now, a word about the tense of the verb there. You are, that's present tense. And we saw that Israel's announcement of salvation is future tense when the Lord comes back. That's consistent. It's always future tense for when Christ comes back. For our salvation, almost all the time, it's talking about it in the present tense. But there are two or three verses that talk about it in the future. When the wrath comes, we're saved from it. We're not saved out of it. We're saved from it. Before it hits, we're gone. We're caught up. It says that Israel is saved out of that Jacob's trouble. That's Jeremiah 30, verse 7. So they have to get into it to be saved out of it. We don't even get into it. Thank the Lord for that. And that's why Paul says, you have no need for me to tell you about the times and seasons. In, I think that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, isn't it? Or 1? Chapter 5, I think. So, let's read Acts 15, verses 7 through 11, with all that in mind that we've just talked about. Acts 15, starting with verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, doesn't say, watch carefully, it does not say all the Gentiles. He's admitting some Gentiles here, that's all. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And as you go through Acts 10, you can see it's not all the Gentiles. It's that one isolated household that he's talking about that blessed Israel. So, when Peter is talking in that meeting about the Gentiles by his mouth hearing the word of the gospel and believing, he's talking about the gospel that Peter preached. He's talking about Cornelius, that Cornelius believed the gospel that Peter preached. The gospel of repent and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And that's what they didn't believe. They didn't believe that he was the risen Messiah, the gospel of God. They failed to believe the identity of Jesus, who he was, that he was really the Son of God. And, you know, that's why it repeats over and over, that believe the name of God, the name of Jesus, rather, that Jesus, who Jesus is, his identity, that he's the Christ. So, there's not a word anywhere in Scripture about Peter even being sent to any other Gentiles, let alone talking to them. But let's go on with the verse. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Peter was referring to Peter's gospel. And eventually, that it would be the kingdom out of heaven on earth. What Israel was looking for. Not what we're looking for. We're not looking for a kingdom coming to earth. Our gospel is not about a kingdom. Exodus 19 was Israel's gospel about the kingdom. But for us, we're looking for being caught up to be with the Lord. Whether we die first or are still alive, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in our house eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. So that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Again, them and us is not the body of Christ and Israel. He's talking about them, giving them the Holy Ghost, giving Cornelius and his household that believed the Holy Ghost, and that's when he, you know, it says, I think in 10:43 that they stopped, you know, he's, while he was in the middle of telling them the good news, the Holy Spirit came on them, and as the 12 apostles did in the beginning in Acts 2, as he did unto us, it says, they began also speaking Jewish evangelism, speaking tongues in other languages about the wonderful works of God, and it was for the unsaved Jews, according to 1 Corinthians 14:22. So he goes on, verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, the Jews and those believing Gentiles. No difference. That matches what Paul said there in Romans 10:12. No difference between the Jew and the Greek. So this is between the little flock and Cornelius and his friends. So that's Jews and the Greeks, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse 10 and 11. And we'll close with these verses. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? Talking about those that followed God, even though they had been Gentiles. Cornelius, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And that's the verse we started with there. That's all about Israel. None of it is about the body of Christ. And those disciples there, he's still referring to Cornelius, but he uses a different word. It may have a wider, it may be implied to have a wider application. All right, I'm done with the lesson, and questions, Q&A time.